It's our goal and heart that moms would feel blessed today. Moms would feel celebrated today. Moms would feel appreciated today. And I thought some of those answers were had some depth to it, and it, you know, some underlying things that were certainly good to remember. It's interesting because, you know, as I've been watching these videos on and off for decades now as a grandpa, you kind of see things through a different lens, I think, in terms of appreciation. And what I mean by that is Mother's Day is an awesome day, and it's an awesome day to celebrate. But if we're not careful, the celebration can be reduced to a lunch. The celebration can be reduced to a bouquet of flowers. The celebration and appreciation can be reduced to some candy. And then, you know, 24 hours later, we're off to the races and you know, it's kind of until next year kind of thing. Yet when you look in Scripture, you see that the role of a mom is critically important. In fact, a lot of what we look at and study in Scripture goes back to a mother. We're studying through, if you're with us normally throughout the month, we're studying through 1 Timothy. And you see in 2 Timothy, the letter to Timothy, Timothy wouldn't be who he was without Eunice and Lois, his mom and grandma. You look at stories like Exodus 1, where Jacobed, who maybe you don't really remember her by name, but she was the mother of Moses. And if you remember what she did with all the midwives, and they were assassinating the kids, and then she hid him in a little thing and floated him down the river. I mean, Moses wouldn't be who he was without his mother. And of course, there's the story of Jesus and the role that Mary played in the life and ministry of Jesus. So mom's roles are critically important, and their legacy is worthy of appreciation and celebrating. And so I just wanted to take a moment. We don't have a ton of time this morning, going a little long, but just a short look at this topic. I've entitled this morning's message, Her Legacy and Why Our Moms Are So Important. And we're going to be looking at Matthew 20, verses 20 to 23. A passage that often isn't referred to in Mother's Day messages, but I think it's a great snapshot of a mom in action, and we get some insight on that critical, important issue. Now, just by way of context, because context is always important, we're in the Gospel of Matthew. In the ministry of Jesus, it's winding down. It's literally within days of Jesus showing up in Jerusalem and getting on that donkey for Palm Sunday and, of course, Passion Week, which we just celebrated a few weeks ago. So it's just days before that. Jesus is having a discussion with his disciples, and it's a very sobering one. He's basically saying that the ministry that we've been involved with for 3 years is now coming to an end. And he tells them some news that probably wasn't super happy news. He's saying, we're going to Jerusalem, I'm going to get arrested, I'm going to be executed, and I'm going to rise from the dead. So he's having this direct discussion. A lot of people don't think that was a big surprise, and the disciples didn't know that Jesus told them. But if you remember, the disciples with Jesus, yes, there's a dozen disciples there, but there's also women, in particular, a mom. And so we see in verse 20 of chapter 20, then the mother of the sons of Zebedee came up to him, Jesus, with her sons, and kneeling before him, she asked him for something. And he said to her, what do you want? And she said to him, see that these two sons of mine are to sit, one on your right hand and one on your left in your kingdom. So clearly this mother, when she's referred to as the mother of the sons of Zebedee. Now, if you've studied through the gospel like we did years ago in Matthew, you realize the sons of Zebedee are who? James and John. If you remember, it was always the trio, Peter, James, and John. But James and John were the sons of Zebedee. They were also called the sons of thunder. These guys were dudes. These guys were zealots. These guys were ballers. These guys were fighters. These guys were passionate. And the mom, for lack of a better term, Mrs. Zebedee, her name may be Salome. A lot of people think that that's this mother is the sister of Mary, which would be then a cousin. But anyway, all that to say, we have a situation, seems kind of odd, but it feels like a little intrusive. You've got the sons of thunder that Jesus was always having to hold them back. No, we're not going to fight our way through. No, we're not going to revolt. No, this is not a political uprising. And you got their mom. And mom steps in. She's feeling this whole thing start to shut down, and she speaks up for these two full-grown tough men, by the way. And it can seem like she's being overprotective or over-involved, like, mom, zip it. They can talk for themselves. But she heard about the kingdom, because Jesus was talking about it, of heaven. She heard about the leadership roles. And so she was saying, hey, can you give some of those leadership roles to my son? One sits on your right, one sits on your left. What is that? It's a symbolic placement. Just think of in terms of, well, we just selected, Catholic Church has selected a new pope. And if you remember, the Pope walked out on the balcony, and he had somebody on his left and somebody on his right. Now, something tells me those were pretty important people to be walking out and being presenting this now to 1.4 billion Catholics. Those weren't just choir boys. You think of a king, and you think of who sits on the right or on the left of a king, places of power. So that's effectively what Salome or Mrs. Zebedee was asking. She was saying, can you put my boys in heaven, can you put them in the places of power? She was going for it. She wasn't holding back. She didn't care if it embarrassed them. She didn't care if it was mortifying. She cared more about her kids than she did how it felt. And this is, I would argue, the first reason why our moms are so important. Number one, they always want your best. Moms always want the best for their kids. They want them to succeed. They want them to progress. Notice Mrs. Zebedee wasn't going for herself. She wasn't saying, and can I have a plate? No, she didn't do that at all. It was just her boys. Now, it might feel overprotective. It might feel embarrassing, even meddling, but it's rooted in her care and her love for her children. That's special, I would argue. You even see it in nature, this unique bond between a mom and her kids. I know guys that are outdoorsmen, I know guys that are hunters, I know guys that have encountered bears, and they talk about bears and, you know, go big if you see a grizz, or, you know, if it's a brown bear or a black bear, da 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 da. But they'll tell you, they'll all tell you, there's nothing more fearful than a mama bear. Why? Because mama bears have special relationship with their cubs that pops. He may not even be around. So much so that they'll say, here, if you encounter a grizzly and she's got cubs, watch out. Go big. She'll retreat and you think it's over, but she's taking her kids, cubs, and putting them over in a place of safety, and she'll be back. And she's coming back. And I've actually talked to people that have had that encounter and actually got attacked. They thought it was over, there was no problem, they're one, okay, got rid of that, and all of a sudden, out of nowhere, there comes Mama Bear. So it happens in the animal world, right? We see that, and mama lions, all those kind of things, and okay. It's unique. I was reading this week, so, and I'm not an expert on this, but when you have a kid, it gets half the DNA from mom and gets half the DNA from dad. But there's a thing called fetus cells. Let me not mess the name up. It's remarkable, I thought. I was reading, I started getting lost in it. It's called fetal microchimerism. And what it is the fetal cells, when the baby, mom is pregnant and the baby's in there, the fetal cells cross through the placenta and enter the mom's circulating system and integrates into her various tissues and organs and stays there for decades. So basically, a mom and her baby are physically tied together for decades. Guys don't have that. Guys don't have that. Moms have that. So And this has to do that with, oh, it's so embarrassing, my mom. She can't help it. Right? She's genetically connected. It can be her superpower if she's going to be a mama bear, but it can also feel awkward. And think about to go against that, which moms have to learn to do when it becomes an empty nest, right? They have to let go. That's part of the growth curve. But you're letting go against genetic connection. So it's kind of wild. But let's not stop there. So maybe you're thinking, okay, well, I don't have biological children. I adopted them. Oh, there's something that goes on there with moms in terms of neuropaths. I was reading, it's a National Institute of Health. Talks about the neuropathways that are developing when women in general are around children. Specifically, infant stimuli activate basal forebrain regions, which regulate brain circuits that handle specific nurturing and caregiving responses and activate the brain's more general circuitry for handling emotion, motivation, attention, and empathy, all of which are crucial for effective parenting. National Institute of Health. Wow. So it's a very different thing for a mom on a cellular level, on a neural pathway level for her kid than it is a husband or a father. And that's ultimately the benefit for you as a child, because she's got your back. She wants the best for you. She can't help it. It's in who she is, because you're in who she is and he is who she is. You know, I mean, it's deep. It's deep. And so I just want to encourage you that this, you know, this wanting the best for you can come in many packages. It can embarrass you. It can feel overprotective. It can feel overinvolved. But it's all rooted in her love and deep care and connection to you. So be patient. See her heart. See what's behind that. Thank her before you challenge her. Appreciate her before you correct her. It's special, it's critical, and it's super important. And God made it that way. That's the cool. God made it that way. And I can tell you as a grandpa, I see this. You know, when I was in this age group with children this age, you know, it's you're just going. You're trying to connect dots and make ends meet, and we got baby dedications, but we got a feeding, and then we got the feeding, and then we got the nap, and if she's up in the nap, then you're going to cry, and then how do we get her home in the car seat before she sleeps too long that she'll stay up late at night? Right? It's just all this navigation. But as a grandpa, you just kind of sit back, and you go, wow, look at that. Look at how she's changed. I remember you before you're married. And I remember you when you got married. But you've changed since you've had a baby. And God changed you. And you see that big time in grandmas. When moms no longer have the babies and those neural pathways are still firing, grandbabies become next level. I mean, maybe this is a commentary on me, self-confessed. But Susan will go, gosh, I miss the grandkids. And I'm like, I haven't even thought about them. Because I don't have your neural pathways or your cellular, you know. Anyway, back to our discussion. So verse 22, Jesus answered, "You don't know what you're asking. Are you able to drink the cup that I am to drink?" They said to him, "We are able." Whoa, we? Okay, now James and John are in the conversation. Now mom's moved to the side. So they're jumping in and are saying, "Yeah, we're able to do it." And he said, "Yeah, you'll drink the cup." Cup is a symbol for Old Testament suffering, okay? This cup of suffering, but to sit on my right hand and on my left hand, not mine to grant, but it is for those for whom it has been prepared by my Father. In other words, what you're asking is super over the top, of which I have no control over, but it will take suffering, and you will suffer. And of course, we know that James was the first martyr, and John wasn't martyred, but he was arrested and sent off to an island called Patmos and lived out his years as in prison for the rest of his life, wrote the book of Revelation. So, yes, Mrs. Zebedee was maybe a bit overzealous for her boys. But don't miss the context. She wasn't asking him, when you leave, can you provide us riches? She wasn't asking him, when you leave, can you provide wives for my sons so that we can have more babies and a clan and own our farm and succeed? She wasn't asking for protection on their life, that they would never be arrested or always be successful, just with hands. No. It was like she was praying. She was asking for their success spiritually in heaven. And this is another reason why moms are so important. Number two, they'll point you to God. She was asking for their spiritual blessing in heaven. Now, this isn't to say that dads won't point you to God, but moms in particular want their kids to follow Jesus. They want them to be godly. They want them to go to church. They want them to read their Bible. They want them to know right or wrong. And they'll worry about them if they make the wrong friends that give a wrong impression or have kind of sinful attitudes or activities. I want to protect them from that. And I'm going to argue that this isn't just Christian moms, because I've watched it happen. I've watched it happen at this church. I've watched kids show up in our youth program because they were invited by a friend. Their parents don't go to this church, and they become Christians. And their parents are ecstatic, but they don't come to church and they don't believe. I watched one particular kid, he came to Christ, his mom wasn't a Christian, she would show up every once in a while and just say, thank you for what you're doing in my son's life. Hey, would like to come to church? No, I'm good. He ended up going to Bible school. He ended up getting his master's degree. He ended up getting his doctorate. He ended up pastoring a church, and his mom never became a believer. Why? Well, whatever was going on in her heart, but she saw the inherent good that can come out of a child who's answering to God. Because then she doesn't have to be present and babysit, because he's answering to God. She doesn't have to wonder how he's doing, because he's being protected by God. She saw the inherent protection of her son knowing who the Lord was. Now, I've lost touch with him. It's probably been 8 years. Maybe she's come to Christ by now, so I don't want to say that that never took place. But this isn't always a Christian mom. Often moms want their kids to go to church because it's good for them. It protects them. And remember, they want your best. So if your mom feels spiritually pushy, she's concerned about who you're hanging out with, who you're spending the night with, whether you're out too late. She wants you to go to that youth group. You're going, really, Mom? I don't want to have to go to the youth group. She wants you to read your Bible. Really? I don't want to be there. She's protecting you. She wants what's best for you. And I think it's healthy, especially as you're an older kid and maybe your parents are elderly. And this is that picture of the praying mom. She's talking to Jesus directly. She doesn't need to pray. But it's the praying mom. Acknowledge her. Thank her. Show her support and gratitude. I guarantee you, for mom who's been praying mom, that'll be water to the soul. I came across the list of the top 10 things moms say daily. Thought it was interesting. The first one is stop. Then, of course, then there's go. And this gets a little more practical. Where are your shoes? So number four, did you flush? And number five, keep your hands to yourself. Number six, please shut the door. Number seven, good job. Number eight, did you do your homework? Number nine, get your fingers out of your nose. And number 10, I love you. Now our kids, you saw our kids on video, they have something to say about what their moms say to them. So let's take a look.
She says so many things.
Clean up your toys.
Go to your room for a bit and think about what you've done, and when you're ready, come back down.
Never give up.
Good job. Nice work. You'll do better next time.
She encourages me sometimes, and then she adds, sometimes when I'm scared, she helps me.
No matter what, I love you, and also Jesus does.
My mom says, always do the right thing, because if you do the right thing, good things will follow.
She just tells me that you just gotta face the consequences, and you just gotta, and you just learn from your mistakes.
You're like very strong, Sophia.
Mom, a lot of times she says, like, I love you.
I love you.
I love you.
I love you. She literally says, I love you all the time.
That she loves me.
She loves me all the time.
So it's all rooted in that deeper place of love, which God put in the hearts and lives of moms. That's why they're so important. Exodus 20 verse 12 says, honor your father and your mother so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you. So this idea of honoring a mother along with a father, but honoring a mother has to do with our obedience to God. And when you think of honoring, it has to do with support. It has to do with recognition. It has to do with value. And the more you and I do this with our moms, the more we are obeying God and acknowledging the very thing he put together, mom and dad and families. This is God's design. And this is worthy of praise. I love how Proverbs 31:28 says, this is what it looks like. Her children arise and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. So that's the key, is that we praise our moms, not because they're perfect, they're not perfect, but we praise what God has done in their life and how we're the recipient of that, that they point us to Jesus, they point us to God, and they also want what's best for us. So if you're a mom here this morning, I would just like you to stand. I'm going to pray for you. Please stand. But before we pray for you, we're going to praise you. So let's give our moms a big hand. Lord, I thank you for our moms. I thank you for the divine gift that you've put in them to be a mom. Whether it's an adopted mom, whether it's an aunt helping out with children and in-laws, or whether it's a biological mom, it's a divine thing that you've put in them. I just pray that they would see that and feel blessed, that they'd understand some of the emotions they feel more than anybody else around them, some of the troubles they feel more than anybody else around them, and wondering why others don't have this concern, because they've been so blessed. And to know it's on a cellular level is just wild, and it's a miracle. And so, Lord, I thank you for their superpowers, because they come from you. And so we praise you and thank you for our mothers. May they be blessed today, blessed tomorrow, blessed in the weeks and months and years ahead, because they are so important, in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Amen. Let's all stand together. We have one more song, and it's a song of blessing for the moms. So I hope you feel blessed.